Let's begin with prayer. Great God of heaven and earth, we thank you for all the tremendous blessings that are ours in your Son. Lord, you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have made us born again by your Spirit. We're thankful that you call us sons and daughters of the Most High. And Lord, we know that in our sin we've not deserved any such things. And yet, Lord, it's been your delight, your good pleasure to do so. Even to give us of your Spirit and to make us partakers of the kingdom of heaven. And we ask, Lord, now that as we continue our Sunday school class, be with not only this class, the adult class, but also with the children's classes. Lord, may your people be learning more about your word. And in that, be growing. Even in our class, Lord, growing in the grace of prayer. Lord, help us as we think about this topic again today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we have been going in our adult Sunday school class on the topic of prayer. And we're a decent way into our series. Our first section, we talked about some definitions. What is prayer? What is prayer not? And then this next section we've been dealing with are the parts of prayer. And in the parts of prayer, we've been focusing on so far on praise or adoration. And we have now, this is the third week in talking through praise and adoration. And just a couple of review questions there. What two categories of praise are there in terms of what we could be praising God about? Well, we said two big categories. Judy?
Who he is and what he's done.
His person and his works. And of course, where do you draw material from in terms of that, the person and work of God? The Bible. Okay, good. Any other place? Creation. Okay, good. You guys are going to have to catch up. Judy's getting all the answers here today. So, mainly the Bible, but also we can think of general revelation as well. You know, we see God's handiwork in how everything works around us, so we can praise Him for that too. What we have been doing in talking about praise in our prayer is we kind of talked in general about what that looks like. And then we started going through, to help stimulate further discussion, Matthew Henry's chapter 1, his outline or method for prayer, his outline of chapter 1, which chapter 1 is on that part of prayer we're talking about, praise. And so one of the things we're trying to do as we go through this prayer series is to slow down and take our time to think through all the different parts with regard to prayer. And so when we talk about praise, what does it really look like? You know, it's easy to say, yeah, praise Him for His person and His work. And it's easy to say, go to the Bible to find out about that. But this outline that Matthew Henry put together is a very helpful one because it takes us more in depth of what that actually looks like and puts it into practice. And again, this is the outline. The actual book looks like this. Notice it's a lot thicker than our outline. And under each of the parts of this outline, he lists sort of a sample prayer, but largely in the language of Scripture. And he has footnote after footnote where he's basically praying Scripture and kind of puts it all together in the form of a prayer for each of these different topics. I mentioned that online, MatthewHenry.org, you can find all of this, not just the outline, but the actual book for free. It's in public domain by now. He wrote a while ago. So that's a way to continue to reflect on this material. But we've made our way through most of chapter 1 here of Matthew Henry. I have down that we stopped after finishing point 5. So we're going to pick up at point 6 today. And Nancy, would you read point 6 for us?
We must acknowledge our dependence upon God and our obligations to Him as our Creator, Preserver, and Benefactor.
So again, as we read this, the point is we're thinking about things to include as we praise God in our prayer. And so what's the main point there in point 6?
Our
Dependence.
Yeah, we have dependence on God. We depend on God. We would not exist if God wasn't here. We would not continue to exist if God wasn't here. In other words, you can think about the fact that we were born at all, but then we can also think of the fact that we continue today. He's the creator and the sustainer of the whole creation, and He's the creator of us and the sustainer of us individually. And notice the word benefactor there. Because we talked, he mentions creator, preserver, benefactor. I kind of just mentioned the creator and the preserver part, but what's the benefactor part? Judy?
He gives us blessings.
He gives us blessings, yeah. The benefactor is the guy who gives you good things. And so not just does he create our existence and maintain our existence, but the fact that our existence is full of many good things is also to God's credit and glory, and something worthy to praise Him about in your prayer life. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Number 7. Ken, you got that?
We must declare this God to be our God and own His relation to Him and own our relation to Him. His dominion over us, propriety in us.
Good. So what's that getting at in terms of what we should be praising God for in our prayer?
That we're in relationship to the one true God.
Yeah. Think about why that's important. I think of in Genesis, the book of Jacob, or not the book, the life of Jacob in the book of Genesis. There's a lot early on in his life where it doesn't seem that he really owns the language that God is my God. The God of my father seems to be his language. But there comes a point where eventually it's, now, the God of my fathers is my God. And of course, that's what we want, for example, in the profession of faiths of our young people. That it goes from, this is the faith I grew up in, to something where they're owning individually as they get up and profess their faith. This God of the Bible is my God. And that should be something we acknowledge in our prayers, that we are connected to Him. And of course, how can sinners be in relation to an all-holy God?
Jesus.
Through Jesus, that's right. And so when you're praying these things, the gospel is always there, that especially in a prayer like that. Now, interestingly, for Him to be our God and to have this relationship with Him, it mentions the dominion. Dominion. What does that get at?
Rulership.
What's that?
Lordship.
That's right. So think about, you know, there's this idea that Jesus is my Savior and Lord, and we're in relation to God because He's our Savior, but we're also in relation to God because He's also our Lord. And the very heart of the Christian faith is to acknowledge that we haven't lived as He is, as our Lord, even though He is. And we're confessing that, or acknowledging that, which we'll get out more in our next part of prayer when we get to confession. But it's here as well. We can't help but think about our relationship with God than to think about in what way we're related to Him. And He is sovereign. He is Lord. All right. Number 8. Who's got number 8? Clara, number 8.
We must acknowledge in an unspeakable favor and an inestimable privilege that we are not only admitted, but invited and encouraged to draw near to God in prayer.
So what's the kind of emphasis there?
So we have the freedom to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
Grace.
What's that?
It's a blessing. It should be a joy to commune with God, not just a burden.
Yeah. And then I heard Jeff say grace, which all these three things come together. Yeah. Who are we that we should talk to the all-holy God? But He not only says you can talk to me, He says talk to me. He invites us to come to Him in prayer and to know that He receives us. Again, I think of Esther. What was Esther so afraid about?
To be killed.
If she did what?
If she came before the king without his permission.
Just a mere human king in comparison, right? Would he lower a censer and allow her to speak her request since she hadn't been summoned? Well, we have been summoned. We have been invited to come before our God. And so I think that's a wonderful thing. Service, number 9.
We must express the sense we have of our own meanness and unworthiness to draw near to God and speak to Him.
And then, you know, I should be giving you a little quotes from him as he writes it. You know, here he says, "But will God in very deed dwell with man upon the earth, that God whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, with man that is a worm, and the son of man that is a worm? Who are we, O Lord God, and what is our father's house that thou hast brought us hitherto to present ourselves before the Lord, and that we have through Christ an access by one Spirit unto the Father?" And he goes on in similar ways there. So what's the point there? In that point? Number 9?
Unworthy.
By the way, meanness, that's an old word. It doesn't mean like mean, like I'm a mean bully. What does meanness mean there? Small, okay, yeah. Like humble, low status, low in grade, you know, inferior compared to superior, that kind of thing. This is older English here than we're probably used to. Did I hear a comment? Okay, number 10. Miriam, why don't you read number 10 for us?
We must humble ourselves in faith of our hearts towards God, as our felicity and portion and fountain of life and all good to us.
Good. What is that one getting at?
Felicity.
Mary, what's felicity? What do you think felicity is?
Happiness,
that's right. Why did I ask you, Miriam? Why do you think, or Mary or Diego, right?
Yeah.
What's that sound like in Spanish?
Felicidad,
a word we use in Spanish all the time, right?
Yeah.
But we don't use it in English very much. And felicity is kind of an old way of talking about it, but it's the word felice. Would be like happy birthday, feliz cumpleaños, happy birthday. So felicity is a word of happiness. So we must profess God as our happiness, as our portion. That ringed a bell. A catechism question for anyone? To glorify God and to
enjoy
Him forever. It should be something that's just so joyful to go to God in prayer and to then express as we go to Him in prayer how wonderful You are, God, how wonderful You are to me, O Lord.
That's something that really flows from the regenerate heart.
Exactly.
Amen.
We were created for that. We were created to know the triune God. Our sins broke that, and we in our natural state don't want God and think that we can seek our happiness elsewhere.
And that's the problem with the world, right? They try to find it everywhere else but in the Lord. But the one who's been regenerated, born again, has this new perspective on where are we going to find true happiness, true joy, inexpressible joy. And it, when it enters the desire of our hearts, we'll get into this in the confession part, right? But as much as we say it's the desire of our hearts in prayer, we also then, at least for me when I do it, immediately think, but it's not enough a desire of my heart. You know, you cannot help but say these things and realize my heart should all the more long for God to enjoy Him, to find my joy and happiness in Him. Okay, good. We were just up to Diego, and now he left. He told me he had to pick someone up, so he gets a pass. Number 11, Sarah Miller. Oh, Sarah Miller, we'll get you a sheet here. Get your sheet.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, you got one. All right.
Number 11. We must likewise profess our believing hope and confidence in God in all His sufficiency, in His power, providence, and promise.
All right, good. What's that getting at?
Our need.
And in the midst of our need, what do we do?
Trust God.
Okay, good. Why can we trust God?
Because He can do it.
Because He can do it, yeah. I've kind of been underlining in, each of these ones, kind of key parts of it, and here I underline hope and confidence in God. And so, like what Jim was saying, in light of the need, what do we do with that, right? In our prayer, we're coming before Him in our need because He's our hope. As what Judy was saying, right? He can provide. He can meet our needs. And we can trust that. And believe in that. And so we profess that, right? Lord God, let me see what he says here. This is number 11. In Thee, O God, do we put our trust. Let us never be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Truly our souls wait upon God. From Him cometh our salvation. He only is our rock and our salvation. In Him is our glory, our strength, and our refuge. And from Him is our expectation. Yeah, we could go on. Wonderful truth, right? That God's the one we can hope in. And so we express that in prayer. Okay, good. Number 12, Madeline.
We must entreat God's favorable acceptance of us and our poor performances.
So what's that one getting at?
Forgiveness.
Clifford?
It's basically our poor performances that we can't, you know, really live a righteous life.
Okay. Good. Interesting. Good. Yeah, so in the midst of our sin, we can plead to Him to accept us, and of course accept us in Christ despite our failings, despite our shortcomings. Now I have to admit something here. Matthew Henry's not here for me to push back on. I might not put this in the prayer petition or the prayer of praise section. I might put this more like in the prayer of petition section, right? Because the very word entreat, that's a request. And so he's essentially making a request here. That seems to be more a supplication or petition. But I guess the idea is we're acknowledging here the special honor it is that God would hear someone like us. And if He's willing to hear someone like us, that's by contrast saying God is someone not like us. God is someone who is perfect and holy and has no poor performances. And so the very comparison has a sense of praise there as well. So that's just a little side note. Lita, number 13.
We must beg for the powerful assistance and influence of the blessed Spirit of grace in our prayers.
I think this is similar to the last one too, right? That word beg, right? That's inherent a petition language, a request. And what does He want us to beg for?
Assistance from the Spirit in our prayers. And so
in what sense does that fit under the category of praise?
Praise.
Judy.
We're recognizing that the Holy Spirit is able to help us in our infirmities.
That's right, yeah. When we come in that kind of humility and say we need what He can give, that acknowledges He's the provider, He's in charge, He's supreme, He is able. So certainly that flows from it. Julie.
It also comes to mind in Scripture when it talks about that the Spirit will guide us when we don't know. We have just that groaning that the Spirit, you know, is assisting us, and that's truly a grace, you know, whether it is a trouble we're going through or joyfulness or sadness or whatnot. It's that to beg for the powerful assistance and influence to be blessed by the Spirit. So I think there comes a time in everyone's life that we just cannot utter a sound. And the Spirit will guide us. So.
Yeah, and that passage you're quoting in Romans 8, it comes after the chapter mentions that we have the Spirit of adoption within us that causes us to cry out to God as Father. And so it's very much this sort of aspect, ramification of our relationship with the Lord now as His adopted children that brings that not only yearning for Him, but even praying in ways that we aren't able to do ourselves. So that's an encouraging thing. Good. Number 14,
Gene.
We must make the glory of God our highest end in all our prayers.
What's that one getting at?
To pray for God's will on earth.
Okay, good, good. Anything else?
Giving to him what's owed.
Okay, giving him what's owed, good. Any other thoughts?
Thinking of Psalm 150.
Psalm 115, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And again, I think of the shorter catechism question again, right? The chief end of man. So again, when it uses the language of highest end, it's saying like, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of our prayer? What's the purpose of it? Why do we bother to pray if nothing else? Or in everything, have it be that God, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Eric, number 15.
I don't have a sheep.
We can remedy that here. Oh, there we go. Sheets abound.
Okay, 15. We must profess our entire reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for acceptance with God and come into His name.
That sound familiar? We had a whole section under the definition part of prayer, where we covered this notion. What's this talking about that we talked about under that definition section? Confessing Christ? Something specific under what is prayer?
What he's done?
Okay.
Acts. Can we look this up online?
You can look it up online, MatthewHenry.org. Yep.
No, I mean, what is it? What's Matthew Henry's book?
What's the name of the book?
Yeah.
It's called A Method for Prayer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the website is MatthewHenry.org. So remember we had, what is prayer? Something, and we talked about different aspects of what prayer is. We said prayer is something done in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. And so here, it says we must profess our entire reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for acceptance and come in His name. And we pointed out that just throwing the name at the end of your prayer isn't really what it's all about when we're talking about praying in Jesus' name. It's not like some magic formula that you throw in that suddenly makes your prayer work and it wouldn't have worked otherwise. That the concept is what's important. That you're coming in reliance on Christ. How can God be our God so I can praise Him as our God? It's Christ. How can I draw near to Him and trust and put my hope and confidence in Him that I'll be accepted? It's Christ. Right? All these different aspects come together in Christ. And so, number 14 and 15 are really good way to conclude this, right? We our praise idea, it's all for God's glory, and we do it in the name of Christ and all that that entails. And if you want to remember more on that, you can look on our website under this topic and find the one we did on praying in the name of Christ. So, good. What are some... So, as a final sort of application question now, as we wind down this section on praise in prayer, what are some personal benefits in praising God in your prayer? So kind of application question. Judy.
As we think about how great God is, it reminds us that He's in charge and we're not, and we can trust Him. It just gives you a whole better outlook on life.
Yeah, it resets, reorientates you in all of life, right? God's God, I'm not. God's in charge, I'm not. Good. What else? Anyone else?
An inner peace.
An inner peace? Yeah. Tell me why I can give you an inner peace. I agree. I would like to...
Well, you're depending on Him.
Mm.
And you're just giving it to Him, and you're trusting Him that He's going to give you... You know, you have this feeling inside of you that you just at rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a tangible example. We got our VBS coming up, right? There's an awful lot of details associated with coming up with VBS. One of them, for example, is... sign-ups. You know, people are going to have to sign up to have a VBS, right? If nobody signs up, we'll not have a VBS. Now we have some people signed up, and we've just begun to get the word out. It would be easy to look at the number of signups that have come in and start to be, oh, we don't have more yet, you know, and then fret and worry about that. That doesn't do any good. But we instead, in prayer, say, God, it's exciting to see whom we've already brought. We got a long time, we expect more, but Lord, we pray that you bring out who you want to bring out. And if God would have this all to be a wonderful VBS, and he'll bring out the people. Yeah, we do our part in, like he would have us, in inviting people and putting up the flyers and things like that, just like, you know, any sort of event. But we can have a peace about it, because if God wants a VBS here, it'll happen, right? And if he doesn't, it won't. And there's a peace there that you can get in that praise as you go to him and acknowledge that reality that he's sovereign and in control. And you're not. good. Other benefits of... by the way, I'm excited. We already have plenty of sign-ups, and we're going to, I'm sure, get lots more, too. So very exciting for VBS. If you're watching right now online, sign up for VBS today. So what are some other benefits of praise in your prayer life?
I think the Sunday school has refreshed my knowledge and a sinfulness of not including these aspects in my prayers. I know Pastor Miller, when he used to speak about people wanting a vending machine or, you know, and then putting at the end, well, in Jesus' name. So, or people are saying, well, this can't happen because of all of these downward spiral things, as opposed to saying, Lord, you are in control of all things. If it is your will, we praise your holy name. You are gracious to us. I have no control over it. You have all the control over it. Let it be given to you. And because before, I would fret, not sleep, and keep thinking how I can fix it. And I think our society is on self-help and how we can fix everything. But God's saying, come to me. Because of your unworthiness, because of your sinfulness apart, I still accept you. Because so many people are living in this world of feeling hurt and afraid because they're not accepted. But God says, I accept you and I love you and I want you to know that the love comes from me. And so this is a wonderful lesson that we have been able to revisit to have it be helping us in our prayer life. So we praise God for that.
And it sounds like it was even helpful in your ministering in the hospital recently, so praise God for that. So
yes, a tool. Yes.
We said a few things then, so we can reorient our position. God's God, we're not, sort of a creator-creature distinction. We talked about the hope and comfort that it gives us, especially that comfort and peace idea. Talks about how we're reminded that our prayers ought not to be just about what we want or sort of our gimme list, but our wish list, but you know, the kinds of things that we ought to praise God for. And I'll add to the notion of you know, for the very act of obedience, there's blessing in that, right? As you know, this is something you're commanded to do, to praise God for who He is and what He's done. There's a blessing of obedience there. What are some other aspects of personal benefits that come in your prayer life, Eric, or in the praise component?
Well, in 2 Corinthians 3:18 it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, which says by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. Exegete that for us in a sentence or two.
All right. Well, you know, everything we've talked about, or a part of what we've talked about, is about God's glory, His attributes, His glory, His person, His works. And it brings to our mind that glory as the Spirit of God works in us and brings to memory as the Lord promised He would. And so that is inwardly transformative. So as we are inwardly transformed, there's even a cycle, so that as you are transformed, you can do it better and more and enjoy it to a greater degree. And that transforms you and enables you to do it more. So there's a process that builds on itself, which is growing in grace.
Amen. Like an example of that. So let's say you're praying and praising God for some of His attributes. Like, Lord, you are so full of truth. To praise God for His truth, you realize then by reflection in the image of God, you ought to be a person of truth. The very notion of praying, God, you're so full of truth, helps you to realize the areas that you are falling short of that, and give that over to God as well. And that's what that verse that he just quoted referenced, that we're, as we're beholding his image, that's something transformative going on in us. And so as we go and praise God, we see what we're supposed to look like. And God can work through that to encourage us and to grow us and maybe bring conviction of sin, new obedience, greater conformity to Christ's image. Any other aspects? Let's see. Jim, you look like you're about to say one. Go for it. Okay.
When the divines were writing the Westminster Confession, they were on chapter 2, they were struggling with how to describe God. And they argued back and forth in this little timeout. And let's pray. So one of the divines prayed, and I'll read section 1, chapter 2. And someone had the wherewithal to write down what he prayed. And when I'm struggling on how to praise God, I read this and I pick up a couple of attributes and focus on those in my prayer. And it says, Therefore, there is the one only living and true God, who is infinite in being, and perfect, most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most gracious righteous will, for his own glory, most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of those that diligently seek him, with all most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. It was a result of prayer that came out, and the attributes, the things that we can focus on in our prayer to God.
Amen. And that's another good example of kind of the stuff we've been talking about too, that use these kinds of resources to help you think through how to pray to the Lord. This Matthew Henry is a good source of that. Systematic theology, things like the Westminster Confession of Faith, are also a good way to kind of pull information together and help you digest Scripture and then translate it into prayer. So, well, this is giving you guys some practical ways to think about praise and prayer. Next time, we're going to talk about confession. That'll be, actually, I'm going to also bring in a little bit of lament in there, confession and lament in our next part of prayer. So let's go ahead now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge who you are and what you have done. Lord, you are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in your being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And Father, we want to praise you in that. And Lord, we want to thank you for how you are cultivating your qualities within us, that you made us from the beginning to be in your image. And even after we fell in sin and marred that image, that you found, you made a way to redeem us. And not just to forgive us, but to be renewing us and transforming us, that our ultimate goal will be conformity to that image of Christ. And so, Father, we pray for that work to continue in us, even in our prayer life. Lord, prepare us now as we take a break for our worship service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.